With us is retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol. I want to remind you that all the information, the answers to questions are up to date as of today. They can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial consider to be opinions only. Drivers, go to askthelaw.org, askthelaw.org. You can click on the big red button that says email Ask the Law, and you can submit your questions anytime you want to, okay? Again, askthelaw.org. 800-288-9227. And it seems that the FMCSA and at Capitol Hill knew we were going to have our Ask the Law program because they made some moves over the weekend. On Friday, if you were watching our Facebook page, they introduced a couple of ideas here. In fact, last week was very busy as they moved to make the texting ban permanent, and also on Friday announced the proposal for electronic onboard recorders. Trooper Dial, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Here we are. Let's talk about electronic onboard recorders. This is really the most recent and breaking news, which happened late Friday. What do we know here? What happened with electronic onboard recorders, and what does this mean?
What they did was, under John Hill's administration, they had a bill, or they had a rule that they were working on to where it would require a trucking company that went through two compliance reviews,
mm-hmm.
if they got an unsatisfactory rating in the hours of service, then they would take and mandate that the EOBRs be installed, and the company had to keep them on there for 24 months.
Mm.
At the same time, under this proposal, they threw some bones, you might say, to trucking companies that voluntarily installed them and used them. One was they reduced the amount of documentation that a trucking company had to keep,
right?
As well as if this trucking company that had voluntarily installed them, if they ever came up for a compliance review and they got a unsatisfactory rating mm-hmm. in the hours of service before the FMCSA auditor or the state partner left,
right.
They would do another sampling of drivers for hours of service, and if they passed, then they would get a good rating. Under what was proposed last Friday, they're kind of mixing it in with CSA 2010. What they want to do is trucking companies that have a high violation rate of hours of service under CSA 2010, they will be on FMCSA's radar a lot quicker than they are under the current system. So under the current system, it's a long, drawn-out process on what how they go about selecting carriers for
right.
compliance reviews.
Right.
But under the new EOBR ruling, if a trucking company fails the first audit, then it's mandatory EOBRs on all of their fleets for 24 months.
Hmm. Wow. And the rules are a little bit tighter than what we saw as far as the proposal from the Hill administration.
Yes.
The FMCSA now is saying that it is essentially one failed compliance review?
Right. If they come in and do a compliance review and you end up failing or getting an unsatisfactory in the HOS factor, which is factor number 3.
Yeah.
If you get that as an unsatisfactory rating, then EOBRs will be mandated on your fleet for 24 months.
It's safe to say that this truck company that was involved in this horrible accident in Kentucky on I-65 during the Mid-America show nearly 2 weeks ago would likely fall in that category from the information that we have. We believe that they were, in fact, had unsatisfactory ratings in many areas.
Yes. They would, under CSA 2010, there would have been interventions long before they had gotten to the point that they were in when the crash happened.
Right. And so this is just one example here of how a rule like this can affect companies. It's certainly going to affect the entire industry. What also that they said, this is interesting, as we read this late on Friday, it said that they actually could, this rule will go into effect with EOBRs June 1st, 2012, but they're saying now that they actually could expand this rulemaking later, in fact.
Oh,
so
yes.
They're saying that we could make this mandatory. We don't know specifically how they would expand it, but we're just assuming they could make it mandatory across the board.
Oh, yeah, they can make it. Of course, you know, one of the things you got to understand is NTSB has on their top 10 list for highway is mandatory EOBRs for everybody.
Right.
And so I think FMCSA has, and this is, NTSB has had this up there, I know, since 2008.
Right.
Because
right.
It was on that list before I retired.
Yeah, yeah.
And for some reason, FMCSA keeps dodging the bullet.
Yeah.
But I know that FMCSA or NTSB, every time they go to one of these big truck crashes, and from what I understand, they got involved in this one because of the high number of deaths. And I'm sure when they complete their investigation and bring it to a hearing, that one of the things, if they do find some hours of service violations, that it will be reiterated again that you know, they're recommending EOBRs.
Here's the quote from FMCSA Administrator Ann Farrow. The story from thetrucker.com. You can read it. I posted this at our Facebook page. It's under links. In addition to requiring EOBRs for carriers that have already demonstrated a pattern of hours of service violations, we will initiate a rulemaking later this year. They're not saying we might initiate a rulemaking. She said, verbatim, we will initiate a rulemaking later this year that considers an EOBR mandate for a broader population of commercial motor vehicles. Tells me they're going to do some investigating here and find out exactly how broad this needs to be.
Oh, yes.
Under their opinion, and with the information that they have, I'm guessing they're going to take the summer and review all of this information that they have and find out if this means a broader population or, at the broadest level, of course, all commercial motor vehicles, which is what members of Congress were calling for all last year during 2009.
I think a lot of it is going to hinge on what they find out as a result of the test pilot program
right.
that they've had going with CSA 2010.
Right.
I know that they have delayed it till next year. I'm sure that they're probably crunching all of the data from the four states, and I think there were two additional states that came online.
Mm.
So I'm sure they're probably looking at all of that data, and the data that they get out of those two, out of that study, is probably going to be looked at pretty hard.
Yeah,
and any future rulemakings dealing with the EOBRs.
Yeah, I fully expect, and I think a lot of us do fully expect them to at some point require this for all commercial motor vehicles. Drivers, if you have a comment, a question on hours of service, CSA 2010, or anything else, any other regulatory item, we'd love for you to get involved. 800-288-9227. This is a big story, as we expected this to come down soon. We really don't know, in fact, where another one that we're expecting to happen, in fact, is the cell phone ban. The texting ban was made, they moved to make it permanent last week.
Yes.
But the cell phone ban has moved from the Office of Management and Budget over to Secretary LaHood's office now.
Right.
And so they're considering that. We were promised a rulemaking on cell phones sometime before the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I fully expect that we'll see that sometime this month.
Oh, yes.
I don't expect that they'll waste any time with that. We're hoping that it will be hands-free, hands-free only, which will mean that you will not be able to touch that device if the truck is rolling. You can maybe initiate a phone call while you're parked on the side of the road. We really don't know. We have no idea
Correct.
What it's going to look like until that final rule is published. So we will we'll certainly keep our eye peeled for that one. And I think electronic onboard recorders, again, I think a lot of people saw this coming. If you have the device, if you have the technology, and you have Washington looking at that technology, then you can put two and two together and easily sum up that they will come out with some kind of rule requiring that technology.
I think, too, there was a lot of trucking companies out there, some of the big, some of the larger ones,
mm-hmm.
that kind of saw the handwriting on the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they've already moved that way. They've already got sort of speak the leg up on, mm-hmm. on a bunch of them. And I think they knew it was coming.
Right.
They
yeah.
just didn't know it was probably going to be this quick.
Well, and I got to be honest with you. I was kind of surprised that they acted so quickly on it.
Yeah.
With everything else going on in Washington these days, you should also know the carriers that voluntarily adopt the EOBRs will receive relief from some of FMCSA's requirements to retain hours of service supporting documents. As you mentioned, that was kind of the idea all along.
Right.
That's something that this administration has carried over from the last administration.
Yes.
Toll receipts used to check the accuracy of driver logbooks. Those, if you have an EOBR on, those may not be required. So
correct.
You're probably, for your bookkeeping purposes, going to keep those receipts anyway.
Well, yeah,
you don't have to keep them as long
correct.
For compliance reviews.
Well, the driver will still need to keep them, as far as his tax purposes
mm-hmm.
goes.
Yeah.
But as far as having to turn them into the company
yeah.
and the company keeping them as an additional item, they've been granted some relief there.
All right. We're back with Ask the Law in just a moment at 800-288-9227. Drivers, if you want to get on board, do it now. Your comments about EOBRs now that the rule is here, it looks like there will be some kind of broader rulemaking later this year. They're certainly going to consider that. They absolutely will have a rulemaking. They just don't know exactly. We don't know. And I don't believe they do either yet, how broad this rule will be and how many carriers this will affect. We're thinking right now, in fact, this will the news is this will affect over 5,000 carriers right now.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that. Talk more about CSA 2010, the cell phone ban, the texting ban, and your calls at 800-288-9227. It's the Midnight Radio Network. Derek Hartlick here. We are hosting Ask the Law for April 2010. Get on board. It's a service of Old Blue USA and retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol is here. If you want to ask some questions, 800-288-9227. The information, the answers to questions are up to date. As of today, can change without notice. Go to askthelaw.org and click on the big red button that says email Ask the Law and ask your questions any time. Comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Let's go to your comments. We'll go to 64 in Virginia, and that's where Joe is this morning. Joe, how are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm doing just fine.
Welcome.
I'm basically calling because, I think that the onboard computer is going to be an asset to saving lives. However, I think it's going to actually cost quite a bit to implement because the trucking companies, I think, have been hiding things. A lot of drivers are actually driving further than they probably should be, but compared to the laws,
yeah.
I think drivers should be allowed to drive a little further than they are right now. But I think that the implementation of that is going to send a shockwave through the companies.
I think what it's going to do, Joe, is it's going to bring essentially a level playing field. Everybody's going to have the exact same rule to, with few exemptions to operate under. And I think that's the one thing that we've heard from drivers. While we have heard, especially during the all the responses to the hours of service listening sessions that the FMCSA has had, they had five. One, the last one at the Mid-America show. The big thing that everybody's pushing for is more flexibility. So I echo that. My opinion, I think it needs to be more flexible, the hours of service rule. But electronic onboard recorders, you're not going to be able to mess with them. You're not going to be able to get around that. And once they're fully implemented, if they ever get to where it's a rule, a broad rule that covers all the commercial motor vehicles on the road, Joe, everybody will have the same level playing field. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, no, that is true. But like I said, I just think that in this economy, I think they should drag their feet.
Yeah.
I think that truck drivers are causing less accidents than people realize.
Well, they are. Yeah.
And I just think that the industry's so safe. I've been driving for 20 years.
Yeah.
And I really do not see too many accidents.
Yeah. Well, in fact, thank you for the call. We're up against a break here, but the truck-related crashes. The truck-related deaths on the highways, those numbers have been going down. We'll talk about that more. Electronic onboard recorders, hours of service, and more coming up on Ask the Law at 800-288-9227. The Midnight Radio Network, Eric Hartley here. Gary McNamara is away today. It is Ask the Law for Monday, April 5, 2010. All the information and answers are up to date and can change without notice. It's made possible by Oblu USA. Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol, is here to answer your questions. In fact, any of the comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Drivers, you can always get your CMV questions asked and answered there at askthelaw.org. Just click on that big red button that says email, Ask the Law. Thanks to RJ Taylor and Old Blue USA for making this event possible every single month here on the program. Getting back to the last caller had a good point in that the trucking industry has really made leaps and bounds when it comes to safety. Truck-related fatalities are down. In fact, the last year that's on record is 2008, a huge double-digit percentage drop that year, the largest drop since they've been keeping record. And that's, I think, something that cannot be ignored here. But again, this is how Washington works. If there is an electronic device out there, and they believe that there are at least a few carriers out there that aren't playing by the rules, they're going to implement a policy. And right now, at least, this policy just states that it's for those who fail a compliance review. They do, in fact, they are reserving the right to broaden that rule. In fact, this will go into effect June 1st, 2012. June 1st, 2012, to ensure EOBR manufacturers have sufficient time to meet the rules' performance standards and manufacture products to meet industry demand. You know what's interesting, Trooper Dial, is that I've actually seen some here recently, some software companies that have said, well, we've got all the EOBR software that you need. And I thought, well, how are they doing that without a rule actually being put forth, which was kind of curious to me. But now that the rule is here, they can go and modify that software. But this is, again, what FMCSA Administrator Ann Farrell said. She said, in addition to requiring EOBRs for carriers that have already demonstrated a pattern of hours of service violations, we will initiate a rulemaking later this year that considers an EOBR mandate for a broader population of commercial motor carriers. So I fully expect that they'll move. I don't know if it will include all commercial motor vehicles, but I fully expect, and I'm not alone here, that they will broaden this rule later this year, and that eventually all commercial motor vehicles will be affected by this, and that you'll just essentially see trucks built with EOBRs. That will be standard equipment. I think we'll even get, at some point, not 2012 or 2015, but at some point you'll probably have EOBRs on all trucks, and they'll come off the line that way. So,
well, I think the most of the trucks already have the electronics there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of a manufacturer of a component
mm-hmm.
that will install a device that will take and capture what information FMCSA wants.
Right, right.
I think one of the things that I remember overhearing or reading about was they wanted to take and be able to track when the vehicle is moving.
Mm.
There's current system, you know, there's current electronics in a vehicle now
mm-hmm.
that will sit there and tell you how long the vehicle has been moving,
right,
and so on and so forth. So,
with cars as well,
yes. Right. And so, well, anything that has an electronic control module, an ECM,
right,
that data is already there. So it's just a matter of a manufacturer taking and being able to adapt to the electronics of that manufacturer to retrieve the data that is needed for the EOBRs.
They're saying that nearly 5,700 interstate carriers will use EOBRs after the final rule's first year of implementation. Essentially, what they're saying is that under this rule, they believe about 5,700 right now qualify to have this mandate.
And most of those are going to be carriers that are in the small to very small category.
Right.
They're going to be the probably less than 20 truckloads.
Right, yeah. 800-288-9227, drivers, if you have a comment or a question on hours of service on CSA 2010, we'd love to hear from you. 800-288-9227 on Ask the Law. The hours of service... They had their fifth listening session at the Mid-America Trucking Show. You were actually able to listen into some of that.
Well, I had something going on that day, but I've gone back, and one of the things that I like about FMCSA is they have the actual listening sessions posted.
Yeah, you can actually go back and listen to them.
And so I've gone back, and I've listened to the first three.
Right.
And I haven't listened to the last one yet, but... And it is, like I said, you know, when I was here the last one, this administrator is wanting the input from drivers.
Right.
We have never had an administrator that was as adamant about getting input from the drivers as Ann Farrell is.
Right, yeah.
And she actually wants drivers. And by the way... Drivers, if you still there is still time for you to submit your comments to FMCSA on the latest proposal, but she wanted the input from drivers because I think she wants to get them right,
mm-hmm.
Whether or not they're going to please. The truck driver, whether or not they're going to please the trucking company, whether or not they're going to take in a plea and appease the safety groups. I think that what they will bring forth will be something that drivers and trucking companies will be able to live with.
She was at the FMCSA administrator was at Mid-America Trucking Show.
Yes.
She was actually making herself very available. Have you seen that before?
No, I have not. I have not been, like I say, she's going way beyond what an administrator normally does.
Yeah, I just thought that was, I didn't think it was odd. It was refreshing, I think, is
yes.
the word that comes to mind.
Yes.
We have to remind ourselves that Ann Farrell herself has been a trucking advocate, knows quite a bit about trucking, and that is what sets her apart. Now, we do know politically that there were some safety groups that had concerns with her being put in this
yes.
position. But having said that, we know where she comes from, what her background is. And I think that's part of what we're seeing here is her insistence on bringing evidence to the table before
yes.
a rule is handed down.
Correct.
And I think at least that part of it is certainly a positive.
Yeah. Then, and like I say, there was nothing wrong with John Hill or Annette Strasberg. You know, both of those came from law enforcement background.
Right, right, yeah.
But with Ann Farrell, she's actually coming from the trucking industry itself. She was with the Maryland Motor Trucking Association,
mm-hmm.
which represented a lot of the actual trucking companies. And so with her having input from them, you know, she's qualified.
Yeah, right.
To run the agency, and like I say, I just, you know, I cannot get over the fact how, like you said, she's making herself so much available.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, people can, you know,
right,
walk up, talk to her, and she even made comments, you know, that drivers had cornered her,
right,
and would sit there and I mean, she'd carry on a conversation,
sure,
with them.
In fact, she made herself available for the Truck Writers North America banquet this year,
yes,
and mingled with truck writers. These are
right.
People that are paid to, required actually, to ask questions of people like Ann Farrow, and she was there. I didn't expect, and we didn't hear any great revelations as a result of her appearance and mingling with Truck Writers North America. But I think, again, it was one of these moves that you just haven't seen in the past. Coming up on Ask the Law, we'll talk more about the texting ban, and the idling ban is back in place as
yes.
as we've hit April 1st. And in parts of Texas, you cannot idle past 5 minutes. We'll talk more about that coming up. It is Ask the Law. Drivers, you got a question, we'd love to hear from you. 800-288-9227, a question or a comment about anything we've talked about or any regulatory item. Again, we'd love to hear from you at 800-288-9227. It's the Midnight Radio Network. Eric Harley here. Gary McNamara is off. Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol, brought to you by Old Blue USA. All the information and answers are up to date. As of today, Monday, April 5th, 2010, can change without notice. AskTheLaw.org. Any comments made by anybody other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Let's go to your calls at 800-288-9227. Next, we'll go to 94 in Wisconsin. Dennis is next. Hi, Dennis. How are you?
Good.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. Well, I'm all for safety out here, but I'm just curious how you people expect the driver to be well-rested when you can't run your truck when it's freezing cold or it's, you know, extremely hot.
Yeah. That's been, in fact, the contention by many drivers, Dennis, along the way. I do know that when we get to extreme situations, in fact, a lot of these in Texas, the idle ban is actually in effect only during a certain part of the year. It went into effect April 1st and goes through what, October 31st. So and thank you, Dennis, for the call and the concern. That's been the contention of many drivers. I don't expect them, based on EPA or any of the states, counties, or cities involved, to change to go back and reissue any rule that will reverse this.
Well, I don't know. There was one of the drivers that brought it to the administrator's attention.
Yeah.
At Mid-America.
Yeah.
And there was something said about
the cleaner engines.
Not some. Well, I don't think it was so much the cleaner engine, but they were. There was a question that a follow-up question to the driver's comments, and I don't exactly remember how the driver commented or anything like that, but it did go back to the fact that the follow-up question had to do with idling.
Right, right.
And the driver commented that some of the places they go to, they can only idle in the extremes, you know, if it gets
right.
below a certain temperature
right, right.
or above a certain temperature,
right, right.
which I gathered from the faces or the expressions that the panel had on their faces, that they were not aware that this was going on.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, there could be some things changing there.
Well, we would have to count on that her administration would have fluid communication with
yes.
the EPA and,
right.
and that, and she would also have, beyond that, some influence
right.
on that. And I don't know that I would expect that. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll talk more about the idling ban that's in place now here in Texas.
Yes.
And also the texting ban that is going to become permanent. So stand by for that. It's Ask the Law, 800-288-9227.